Good morning, everyone. I'm Albert from Hollywood House Church, and I'll be leading this morning's EMP. Let me open us in prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Father, we pray that your spirit would be with us and pray that you would be here as we read your word together, Father, and pray for our brothers and sisters. Father, pray that you would be with us and guide us throughout today's EMP. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we have two sets of verses this morning. Let me just read today's verses. The first set of verses is from John 7, 25 to 52. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, "Isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from." Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me." At this, they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Still, many in the crowd believed in him. They said, "When the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than this man?" The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, "I am with you for only a short time, and then I'm going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live, scattered among the Greeks, and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, 'You will look for me, but you will not find me'? And where I am, you cannot come?" On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him will later receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. "No one ever spoke the way this man does," the guards replied. "You mean he has deceived you also?" the Pharisees retorted. "Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him? No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." Today's second verse is from 1 John 2, 28 to 29. "And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him." So this morning, I wanted to share my personal devotion based on the passages. After reading today's passage, what really spoke to me was John 7, 37 to 38. So on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." So the festival that the verse is talking about is the festival of the tabernacles, which reminded the Israelites of the hardships their fathers endured during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. So during this feast, they would build little thatched sheds beside their homes. And during the 8 days of the feast, the families would live in these little sheds. At the Temple Mount, the priests would daily make a solemn procession down to the Pool of Siloam, with water jugs on their shoulders. They would come up with the many steps to the Temple Mount and poured the water on the pavement to symbolize the water that God provided out of the rock for the Israelites. On the last day, the greatest day of the festival, because it was a special Sabbath, they did not make the procession to the pool of Siloam with the water ceremony. Instead, this was too significant for it to acknowledge that God had kept his promise. So they had brought and he had brought them into the land that was well-watered and flowed with milk and honey. So it was therefore on this day that actually Jesus shares this passage. And so Jesus stood and cried to the multitude, and he shares this passage to them. So the thirst that Jesus is referring to in this passage is spiritual thirst. So man is, of course, a threefold being made up of body, soul, and spirit. Man is a spirit dwelling in a body, possessing a consciousness. So we are also integrated so well that it's next to impossible to separate the three parts. So whatever affects us physically affects us emotionally and affects us spiritually. Whatever affects us emotionally affects us physically and spiritually. And whatever affects us spiritually will affect us emotionally and physically. So when Jesus says, if any man thirst, he was speaking of that universal spiritual thirst that man has for God. We all understand physical thirst, where the body is made up of 70% moisture, and it must maintain a high moisture content. So God gave us this monitoring mechanism that lets the brain know when the moisture is getting low, and the brain responds with thirst. However, there's also a second type of thirst, which is emotional. So we thirst on the emotional level. So what this means is that we thirst for love, security, attention, and to be needed. And of course, the third thirst is the thirst on the spiritual level. So the spiritual level thirst is for a meaningful relationship with God. So when I think of my own thirst now, I can honestly tell you that a lot of my thirst still exists at the physical and emotional level. So reading the news every day doesn't help. Every evening, my wife and I reach out for our phones to review the day's case numbers. Did we break 30,000 cases today, or are the numbers coming down? The official numbers are coming down, but are the unreported cases going up? Is it true that 75% of our city will have the virus by May? Are the numbers under control, or are they spiraling out of control? So my thirst is for the physical and emotional security, not only for myself, but also for my family. My thirst exists on a day-to-day level, buoyed by the numbers reported on some government website. And I've told myself that my life is on a standby mode until after the numbers come down or universal testing is done, that my real life will come back after that. However, after reading the passage, God reminded me that my thirst should be on the spiritual level, and that my life doesn't need to be on hold despite the circumstances, and that his living water is available for me now, and that I should thirst for him and a deeper relationship with him. So Isaiah 44:3 says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants." So when Jesus says rivers of living water will flow from within them, what does that even mean? From the Greek, it means that out of his innermost being will gush torrents of living water. So the picture is not just of a gentle flowing stream, but a flood. It's a flood of water. It's a torrent that gushes down and cascades down a mountain canyon. So I believe in that in these trying times, our Lord and Savior is waiting for us not to put our lives on hold until the virus subsides or universal testing is completed, but wants us to thirst for his torrent of living water to flow in. There is nothing that can come in the way of his flood, living water gushing through our lives now. I wanted us to enter into a time of worship and invite Sterling to lead us. Thank you. Thank you, Sterling. So I'm going to read the prayer today from the intercessory prayer from the One app. This is today's intercessory prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Afghanistan and the Taliban self-appointed government. We pray for an end to evil regimes and terrorist organizations that are a threat to world peace. Pray for the nations as we negotiate the impact of this and other troubled areas. We pray for increased wisdom and discernment. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now we're going to take some time to pray for our community prayers. So let us start with the community prayers for those battling cancer. On the next slide, let's pray for those with illnesses and are in need of salvation. On the next slide, let's pray for those with infirmities, that the Lord would touch them with his healing. On the next slide, let's pray for our brothers and sisters and their families with COVID. We're praying for mild cases, for God's protection and quick healing upon them. And also thanking God for all the families that he's healed in our church already. And also praying for the frontline medical workers, that God would give them a special protection. On the next slide, let us pray for our brothers looking for jobs. May God lead each and every one of them where he has a plan for them next, and myself included. On the next slide, we wanted to pray for a mission focus for Singapore, for PSAM Kim, for Indonesia, for Peace Element, for Philippines, P. Ernie. Pray that God would give them leading, God would bless them with wisdom and bless their families as well, especially during these trying times. Praying for education, for SP Kids, Lisa, SP Youth, Donald, and SPU, P. Andrew. They're praying that you bless their ministries, Father, even though everything had to be moved online and the stresses of that, pray that you would lead them, give them wisdom, show them how to manage all the ministries. And also pray for the prayer and healing, the IP team, Matt, the well, Sarah, and River, Rachel. And for our local outreach, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Bridge, Recreation, and also the evening outreach, SP Lights, Homie, pray that despite what's going on in our city right now, that they would have opportunities to outreach to everyone that God wants them to meet with. Also pray for all of our sisters who are pregnant, that Father, that you have a special protection on them during this time. Hazel, Joan, Carmen, Fiona, Audrey, Leslie, Dayan, Winnie, and others as well. Also, lastly, house churches that are meeting tonight, Cullinan West, East Bay, McRobinson, Olympic, Robin Hood, Ventress, pray that God would give, even though everyone's online, pray that they would have a special time together tonight. That Father, that your Holy Spirit would be there and really ministering and to each and every one of the house churches and letting them go deep. So let me close us with a prayer. Dear Father, thank you for reminding us that your thirst should be for you, that our thirst should be for you, and show us what it means, what that means. And may our souls be flooded with your rivers of living water through your Holy Spirit. And may we not put our lives on hold until things get better, but may we draw close to you and live in the fullness of life that you've already given us. And may we continue to pray for your favor and protection over our city through these difficult times. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today, and may you have a blessed day ahead.